You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Here we are. It's another episode of More Perfect Marketing, and I'm David Baer. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about how you can make your business, product, or service stand out by being unique. Now, here's the thing. Almost every single business out there has something that can set them apart, and yet most of us, we sort of look at our business and go, well, we do the same thing that, you know, hundreds or dozens or thousands of other businesses do. We're not unique. Well, I guess, you know, the only thing that's unique about us is that it's me doing it instead of somebody else. I'm better at it. I went to school longer. Things that ultimately don't really matter all that much to your prospects. But when you step back and you sort of think about what can make you different, what are you already doing that's making you different and you're overlooking it? That's the stuff that if you dig a little bit deeper into, if you really focus on emphasizing those pieces of your business, you can actually set yourself apart and position yourself differently from everybody else who does what you do. You may have heard this term before, but if you haven't, I'm going to introduce it to you. It's called the unique selling proposition. Sometimes it's referred to as unique selling position or unique selling. There's a bunch of other P words that have been slotted in there, but this is the USP is really what we're focusing on. And basically what this is it's a way to succinctly outline how your business, your product, your service is different from your competition and identifies what your business is better at or why you're a better choice and why your target market should ultimately choose you over the competition. And if we think about some classic USP examples out there, I think you'll really be able to sort of wrap your head around this concept. Because it's what, even when you're doing everything else the same, sets you apart. Let's use the example of Domino's Pizza. This is one of the classic USP examples that I think will really help you understand this concept. Domino's Pizza, when they first started, they opened up in a college town. And the thing that was most important to their target market, college kids, was not that they had the best quality pizza. It was not that they had an amazing recipe or that they sourced, you know, their ingredients from San Marzano tomatoes in Italy. It was that people who wanted pizza fast could get pizza fast. And so they focused on a unique selling proposition, which ultimately, when they started expanding, they turned into, if we don't deliver your pizza within 30 minutes or less, it's free. Right? So that was, now you may say, oh, but that's their slogan. It's not. This is really their positioning. And they've changed this over time because they then had, you know, other competitors come into the space of speed of delivery. But Domino's was the one that started this. Here's another one. Lens Crafters. And this is actually a fairly similar unique selling proposition. But this is Lens Crafters, which produces eyewear, right? So glasses and contact lenses and things like that. And they also created a speed of delivery unique selling proposition. That was really all over the idea that you could get your glasses or your contact lenses in about an hour. Again, there are other people who have come into the space and sort of piled on top of that concept, and so they don't necessarily own that market as much anymore, although because they were first, and although because Domino's was first, in the consumer's mind, these guys still own the positioning of we deliver quickly. Here's another one. Men's Warehouse. Men's Warehouse was, still is actually, a large chain all over the U.S. That makes, you know, sort of business attire or sells business attire for men. And one of the ways that they got onto the market and positioned themselves was around their pricing. Now, in recent years, you know, there was the slogan, you're gonna love the way you look, I guarantee it. But when they first started out, the slogan that they used and their positioning was, remember, no one, I repeat, no one buys clothes at a lower price than at the Men's Warehouse, I guarantee it. This was the founder of the company who would go around and say this over and over, and he recorded TV and radio commercials where he would use this statement on every single one of those ads. And so people understood that the Men's Warehouse provided quality clothes, but at a lower price. Now, let's contrast this to the USP of a high-end clothing store that doesn't necessarily charge lower prices. That would be Nordstrom. Nordstrom found a way to position themselves as high-end clothes, but they also position themselves around service, customer service specifically. And one of the things that they were training all of their employees to understand is kind of an extension of the customer's always right. If you buy something from Nordstrom and you bring it back, they will gladly, regardless of the condition it's in, accept it and give you a refund or store credit. And in fact, there's actually a very famous story about how some guy came into Nordstrom and was very upset about his tires for his car. And he got them to agree to take the tires back, right? There's just one thing, right? So they gave him a refund and everything. But here's the thing. Nordstrom doesn't sell tires. Now, what happened as a result of it is that employee who gave the customer the refund got a promotion. In fact, they got put in charge of an entire team. And the idea behind this is that it's how Nordstrom chose to position themselves in the market. Now, that story has made lots and lots of rounds and gotten a lot more people aware of Nordstrom and aware of how amazing their customer service is, regardless of the fact that they don't even sell the thing that they had given the guy the money back for. That was a very poorly constructed sentence, but you understand what I meant by that. All right, there's lots of different ways that you can look at how to position yourself. Here's another one. I was just reading the paper the other day, and there's a story about the online investment app or the mobile investment app, Robinhood. Robinhood, which, you know, sort of got into the news for some crazy trading that was going on in recent months, and the positioning for Robinhood, if you think about all of the big banks and the broker dealers out there and all the investment firms, is that they wanted to position themselves to help the younger people, the first time investors who were being unfairly treated, this is their positioning, by the big banks because of minimum investment requirements and lack of access to be able to get in and start trading and investing, and that they were going to make it easy and accessible and open up access to the American financial system. And that is their positioning, right? So if you type Robinhood app into Google or YouTube, you're going to see a ton of young people. I mean, all over YouTube, you're going to see, you know, hey guys, this is, I want to show you my Robinhood app. It's the first time I've ever invested and it's super cool. Let me show you how it works. And they're all talking to a very different demographic than who you would consider would be the typical Wall Street investor. That was their positioning. So how is it that you can position yourself most effectively? Whether you're a small local business, whether you're a large national chain, it really doesn't matter. Finding a way to position yourself differently from everybody else in your field, you know, is a critical key to being able to get attention and align yourself with a subset of your potential audience out there. So one way to look at this is, you know, think about what are the voids in the marketplace? What doesn't exist elsewhere that you could swoop in and say, but we do this? Another way to think about it is, how could you position yourself as the only one who delivers a certain thing? Well, here's a hint about the only one doing a certain thing, is if you come up with a proprietary way of talking about something that everybody does, but it's just your own little spin on it, well, suddenly you are the only one doing that because nobody else is using that terminology to describe the thing that you do or the thing that you have or the way that you deliver whatever it is that you're selling. So you can easily be the only one doing it. Another way to sort of look at this is to just make a list of all the services and the products that you're able to offer that nobody else in your space is offering, right? By extension, you then are the only one who you know, has this breadth of additional things. Right? So there's lots of different ways to think about how you can position yourself as different from what everybody else is doing in your space and draw attention to it. Now, another great way to do this is to have a narrower focus in terms of who you're serving. And by that, I mean a specific target market. And so while you may be doing the same thing that every other business in your space is doing it, you happen to specialize in doing it for a certain audience. Maybe it's for first-time parents, or maybe you work with retirees only. There are any number of things that you can specialize in that is a narrower focus that everybody else is going much, much broader on. But because you have focused narrowly, you are going to stand out to the people in that subcategory of all the potential people you can serve. So a very, very, very smart way to market yourself and position yourself. Anyway, there's a ton of different things that you can consider in terms of how to position yourself. But then once you do it, you simply take that positioning and apply it to all of the different marketing activities you're engaged in. In fact, you let it inform the marketing activities you're engaged in. So if, for example, you decide that you're going to focus on a certain audience, well, now suddenly you know that you're going to take your message to places where that audience hangs out, where that audience exists. And you're not going to spread it all over the place in places where they're not hanging out and they don't exist. Right, that gives you a little bit more efficiency in your marketing. Let's say, you know, we'll go back to the Domino's example of focusing on college students and speed of delivery. Well, they knew that they didn't need to be taking out, radio ads on radio stations that college kids didn't listen to. They didn't need to be putting ads in newspapers that college kids didn't read. They didn't need to be putting door hangers on the doors of homes in more affluent neighborhoods that didn't care about or didn't prioritize speed of delivery as much as they would prioritize quality of the food. And so simply understanding how you're positioning yourself is going to directly inform the ways and the places and the messaging that is the makeup of your marketing. This is a big, big topic and one that I spend a lot of time on with my clients. And I'm sure that if you start going down this path, you're going to raise a lot more questions about how you can leverage your unique selling proposition and then put it into action in your business and in your marketing. So I hope that I've sparked a couple of ideas for you, new directions that you might go, new ways that you may iterate your existing marketing activities. And that's ultimately the point of More Perfect Marketing. It's to hopefully improve your marketing incrementally, inch by inch, day by day, by adding things and making it just a little bit better. I'm David Baer, and you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. If you have a topic you'd like to hear covered here on the show, or a question that you'd like answered, please reach out to me. You can head over to moreperfectmarketing.com and hit the contact link at the top of the page and leave me a message, and I will happily address it here on the show or get back to you directly if that's what's warranted. Once again, I'm David Baer, and you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Thanks for allowing me to spend a little bit of time in your world.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.